In a world where multi-million dollar satellites are used to find Tupperware in the woods, through the magic of the internet, which is just a series of tubes, coming to you from the surface of planet Earth, the Slaga Geocaching Podcast is about to begin.
You are listening to episode number 80 of the Slaga Geocaching Podcast, produced by Paul Connor Packy of St. Louis, Missouri. Interview with Mies and Map Girl during the 2007 Slaga 4 picnic.
I convinced Mike and Michelle to do a podcast interview at the 2007 Slaga Fall Picnic. Michelle had to be eased into the idea, but later in the day, all three of us were able to get away from the pavilion for a discussion. I didn't find out until after the recording that Mike and Michelle were engaged to be married. I don't have the details or the wedding date, but it seems they both enjoy geocaching, so they've got that going for them. During the podcast, when you hear this sound, it means there's been a change in the conversation.
So you're not going to use that?
No, I think...
I told you I was kind of nervous, and Mike said, it's more like a conversation. And then We got here, and I said, with that big microphone, it looks like more like an interview.
Here we are at the Slaga Fall Picnic, and I've got two geocachers, and Mies, who is Mike... Miesner?
That's Mies.
Mies.
Mies. Yeah, it's not Mies. Mies. It's Mies. The first M is silent.
Are you just joking?
Because Mies was taken.
Oh, really?
So I had to be M.
And Mies.
So just Mies.
Just, yeah.
Extra
Yeah.
The same with... Oh, I don't have my name taken.
Man,
same with my... It's M Map Girl.
Map Girl.
But Map Girl was already taken, so I'm M Map Girl. Okay. I copied off. Just Map Girl.
Your real names are your
Michelle
and Mike. Oh, I know Mike, you've been caching for a while. Did he drag you into it?
I dragged him into it, I guess.
Yes.
Very willingly.
Now you cache together a lot?
Most of the time.
When I understand, you worked at a supply store?
A printing company supply store.
Because I actually found something on the internet where your name showed up as a contact. If you need pens, pencils, whatever, contact Mike.
Yes, banners. Things like that.
And I want to ask you about that. You work with Rich to get a price on printing out brochures?
Yes, brochures. I think they put out at Greensfelder and some of the events Slaga does.
What about the large map? Wasn't there a large map that was printed off at MOGA 2006?
Yes, the Topo maps.
Okay. So the map girl wasn't part of that?
No, the map girl wasn't part of that.
What do you do during the day?
I work in human resources at a financial institution.
And you can name it if you want.
I don't know if I can. Can I? I don't know.
Is it a secret? Okay.
I don't know if I can. I don't know. I haven't been there that long.
Okay. Well, don't jeopardize your job.
I mean, it's not a secret, but I don't know. They have a lot of
rules,
regulations.
Yeah,
large brokerage.
Have you guys been into technology for a while, or have you had a GPS?
I'm more into the toys than Michelle is. I read a couple articles that kind of caught my interest. I picked up a couple letterboxes because I understood that was similar, but without the GPS, just to see kind of what it was about, so that I got my GPS and found my first cache.
What was your first cache?
Gates
of the Mississippi, yes. When it was in the tree, where the overlook is, where the cannon gates, it was moved. It was like in a tree off to the left, and now it's at a different location.
He lives in the city. I live in the county.
What drives you to look for the type of caches that you look for?
Personally, if I go out on my own, it's just like, okay, I'm going to be in this area, or I have couple hours to kill. You know, there's two or three over here. I'll just go over there
and
grab them.
You just happen to be doing something else around that area at the same time.
Sure, which is where the PDA comes in handy. I don't have to worry about printing off sheets. If we decide to go out somewhere, it's like, depends on the walk.
Yeah.
Just
a lot of times we'll try to plan something on the weekends, and we'll do like Emanager Park, Cliff Cave Park.
A few weeks ago, we went out to Onondaga Cave and got a few of them on the way down there, and Sullivan and the rest stops.
And you're coming back from somebody's birthday party and found a cache?
Yes.
That's last Saturday.
Yeah, I wasn't spying. That was actually in a log somewhere that I read.
Great niece's birthday party.
Somewhere along Highway 30, was it?
Yes.
Right. Guardrail, question mark, exclamation. We ran into Java programmer. And...
Oh, he was looking for that one?
Yeah. As we found it, they pulled up.
That's the only one we were looking for that day, because we were on our way back to the city from the birthday party. And that's the only one we looked for that day, and we ran into two other... geocachers.
Have you done that before, running into other people who are caching any of these guys?
A little bit. Every little once bit. In a while. Not too often.
But usually we don't know them.
A couple times we've seen people and it was kind of, you know, you knew what they were doing and they knew what you were doing. It's kind of like, hi, but, you know.
I usually carry business cards and like, oh, you geocachers, here's a slog of business cards. Like, here.
We started dating a little over 2 years ago on one of our first dates. He explained what he did for geocaching, and I thought it sounded kind of weird. Nerdy's a good word. But I told myself, Michelle, just keep an open mind. Third date or something, we actually went out and to a couple of parks, and he showed me some, and I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool. So we just kind of gradually kept going and getting more and more, and I really like it.
Oh, you
do. Yes, I do. Because somebody asked me, they're like, you and Mike, you do it together, but do you really like it? Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, see, Elaine wouldn't be doing it if it weren't for me. She doesn't have a geocaching name, she hasn't signed a law. She'll help me navigate, she'll help me find it. But that's all she's really interested in. She wouldn't do it otherwise. Oh, sure. I never take her anywhere, so it's a good excuse to... Okay, we're going somewhere together, so...
Well, we were in Florida in June. We had just went down to Pensacola, and we did some caches down there. We saw areas down there that the normal tourist wouldn't see. They were very cool, very pretty, like on the bay and stuff. We had to hike a mile across the desert, we called it. But, you know, we got to see things that normal tourists down there just wouldn't miss completely.
Right, or you might not have gone looking for it unless you had a reason, excuse to go out and do it anyway.
Right.
Like, so why would we be here? Well, we have a reason now, so no one could say we shouldn't be here.
It's like, you know, I wouldn't just like walk across this long stretch of sand just to see what's on the other side, but we had a reason to go there, and we saw, you know, the cool little pools, the cool fish.
Did you notice any difference in the type of caches in Florida versus here?
Was one lady who hides a lot in Pensacola, and she tended to hide them a lot in very, very busy spots.
Yeah, very touristy.
Like in front of restaurants.
And were they like small things you have to be discreet on?
So. Yeah.
We're kind of fair weather cache when it's a million degrees.
Yeah
and if it's overly cold, it's not that much fun.
January,
either.
February, we don't venture out much.
What, how far have you guys gone, ventured as far as other states or other areas? What's the furthest cache that you guys have done?
Up in Canada.
Mine was... The farthest one was up in Saskatchewan.
You both did that one?
No.
Okay. Usually, I always go with Mike. He's more apt to go on his own. But a couple summers ago, I went to Montana to visit my brother. So I tried to hit every state on the way. And then he lives a couple hours from Canada.
GPS receiver, or you have your own?
No, I didn't have my own for a long time. And then Mike surprised me. Got me my own.
She thought I was handing her mine, but really I was handing her new one.
I was so embarrassed.
She didn't
notice.
We were
on our way somewhere and we stopped.
Animals always.
Animals always at the zoo. Got out of the car and he just handed me a GPS and it looked a lot like his. And I just thought it was his. I was very embarrassed he was actually giving me my own.
Did you ever the one where I think you had a problem with one of your garments with the rubber coming off?
That's the one I did. Boy, he does read up.
Yes. You've done your homework.
And that you fixed yourself, right?
Well, I fixed it and then I didn't fix it very well. Broke again, then I got this one. I got Michelle one, the Atrox Yellow one. Then I got this one and then I went back in and pulled out some glue and I think it's old Vista will work. After I tore it apart and there's a whole web page on deconstructing your garment.
Okay. And you figured it's either going to be useless or I'm going to fix it.
Exactly. I can't use it as it is, so if it fixes it,
it's already
great.
Junk.
Yes. So it did fix. I've loaned it to a guy now who's a beginning cacher. Mm. He's gotten like two so far.
Somebody from work that you know you're trying to get into it?
Right. Well, someone who actually saw the flyers that we printed up for Rick.
He saw the brochures,
and so tell me about this. I kind of explained it to him, and I loaned him the Vista, and it took him a while to find his first one. He's found a couple so far. The first trip he took out is when it was so hot. Maybe once the leaves come down a little bit. You can get a better reading with that. Okay. You
know. Well, if you're not working, not geocaching, what else do you guys do?
What's left? To me, it's a lot more enjoyable doing it with Michelle, because I used to go out on my own. It was fun, and it was challenging, but it wasn't quite as much fun.
Have you gone to group hunting?
We kind of ended up on the Tour de Grant, like the last half of it.
And there was a lot of people.
There was a lot of people. Yeah. I think I prefer just the two. Everyone was very nice.
Yeah,
everyone's
very kind.
Right, everyone's right. Very super.
But the experience is different. If you don't find a cache, you know, somebody else does, and then they find it for everybody, or if you're the last one, they're like, can't find it, we all love it.
Right.
So that's what I like to avoid.
Michelle had that experience.
There was this one on Grant's Trail that everybody like leaned down and looked at it and saw it, and I think myself and RGS were the only ones we like looked like.
Oh.
Everybody kept going, it's right there, and then both kept looking.
Fine, you're in good company.
I know. At least it was, you know, him. I mean, I didn't feel too bad.
What made you guys want to come today?
A lot of nice people.
Did you know anybody in the group before you were geocaching?
No. The first event I went to was MOGA, Pier Marquette. Some friends of mine who cache also, the Incredibirds.
And how do you know them?
I've known Jim and his wife Tracy for years.
Well, they actually got into it big time about the whole family because they all dress with those shirts.
Right, that's so cute.
And you go paperless now too?
Yeah, it didn't take me too long to go paperless. You know, because you can load all the waypoints in the GPS and you're driving around. It's like, well, there's a cache there, but I have no idea what any information about it.
Right.
So my first, this is just a cheap little palm.
And where did you get that?
This one I got at Office Max, something like that. It's like $100. The first one I got off eBay for $25. Little black and white one.
We just now got a cell phone. We've resisted for a long time. We didn't have a cell phone until a couple months ago. But we've got the pay-as-you-go phone.
Oh, I feel at home now. Mike is the technical one. I'm not real big on cell phones and a lot of technology. I'm very thankful to Mike because he does all the GSAC and loads everything on the GPS and on the PDA and everything. Anyway, he does a great job at it.
When you were in Sullivan, you were one of the people who came upon one of those caches that the kid had just muggled.
Yes.
Did you actually see the guy drive away in his bike?
No, we were looking in the obvious spot. It wasn't there. So I was kind of like cleaning up my mess, you know, digging stuff out of the tree. I was like, well, maybe it's real small and it's just buried underneath all this sawdust. And the kid said something. Are you looking for something? And he kind of saw him off in the distance and he rode his bike up.
All of a sudden he was right there.
So I found a box of toys there. And he just kind of explained to him what was going on, you know, with it. And
Mike was really good at talking to him and that he should go home and bring that back because other people need to find that if they're looking for it. And he was very polite to him.
And he said he would, and apparently he did. I got a little letter from, I think it was one of Jen's, sent me a little email saying that he had returned everything.
Have you ever gone to a cache and you found somebody logged that said, I'm not a geocacher, but I just happened to find this? I find a number of those.
I've only found one of those I can recall.
And it's nice enough to put it back. Lane and I were coming back somewhere through Iowa, and there was a cache in this Amish country area. And it was a little corner. You know, it was this farmland, a little corner. We got out, and we found the cache fairly easily. We opened it up, and there was a farmer's glove in there. It was used dirty and everything. And we read the log. I had been working out in the field and took a rest here and happened to find this cache. Since I didn't have any toys to give, I'm leaving one of my work gloves.
Huh.
It was some little girl who just thought, oh, this is kind of neat. Rather than steal it or not do anything, she gave up one of her work gloves.
She contributed.
And that's kind of neat. Where else would you find something like that except, you know, an Amish family that had that kind of philosophy about life?
She might have gone back saying, Mom, I can't work anymore. I lost my gloves.
Yeah. Well, then you're going to get blisters on her hand, little girl.
I've only found one. At least that I remember seeing on the log. It's the one at Wilmar Park. It was a multi. I don't remember the name of it. And someone wrote, oh, I just accidentally found this. Signed their name and stuck it back in.
I found a few where some kids had found it. Pretty much trashed the place and wrote some nasty notes inside the log.
That's uncalled.
You kids, this is my woods. Get out of here.
I thought it was at one of these picnics. Somebody had brought one.
A spring picnic.
Yeah.
That was burnt.
Yeah,
to
and like
crisp,
melted.
Although there were still trinkets inside, you could see. Yeah, it was Emily Cash, and R. Welker had brought it to the picnic. The logbook had some nasty things in it. Now, caches you put out, you have a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
One is,
he has lots of ideas.
One is one near the river, one's downtown, or close to the river.
Yeah, Belle Reve Micro. Okay. Belle Reve Park, down off Broadway, near Bates.
It's been out for a while?
Yeah, it's like almost 2 years.
2 years?
Only been muggled once. I'm real surprised.
Is it high traffic?
Yes, very high traffic. I had to move it from its original location. It was in like a split rail fence. It was just a film canister, and
it
I found
a big enough hole that you could slip it into one of those cracks.
Yes. Okay. And I found a piece of wood from when they built the fence. They just cut the wood and just let it fall. Mm-hmm. I found a piece of the wood and screwed the piece of wood onto the cap and slid it in.
And I
left it there for a couple months before I actually turned it into a cache just to see if it would stay. And it stayed, but then finally someone destroyed the fence.
And what made you want to put the cache there?
Just a view.
The St. Louis area or
no, the best views of the river,
river
in the city.
Oh, you're actually up high or something?
Yeah, you're on top of the bluff.
And the other one?
Isn't it ironic?
That one hasn't been out too long.
Yeah, that's pretty new. Well, I used to work.
You used to sit near, in your office in the window near where the...
Right, just a few feet away, and I buy and sell paper. I do all the purchasing for my company, so I buy and sell a lot of paper. The ironic part is what they put right there by where my window was.
Is that a secret? Is that...
It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
Once you walk
once you
up,
get there, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's not in the middle of the street. People keep saying, it's hard to go out in the middle of the street. I guess I should put a little note on there. Do not go into Brentwood. Do not play in traffic.
Any comments about geocaching?
For me, it's spending time together. It's something we like to do together. But also, I didn't grow up here. I lived here for a while, but I didn't know there were so many great parks in and around St. Louis. Like, we came up here one day, Spanish Lake Park, and several other parks up here in North County that I just didn't know even existed. The Confluence, we went up there one day.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it gets you outside, it gets you moving around. Right. And
when I got the gate to the Mississippi, I used to always sit not too far from there. And you can kind of see the river through the trees. And I remember watching people go up to that tree. Where it was.
Before you knew what was going on.
Before I knew what was going on. And then I found that cache.
That's kind of cool.
And it's like, this is hidden. That was the kind of thing that kind of caught me. That these things are hidden in plain sight. Which is the one thing that kills me. If I ever see a cache page that says in plain sight, not good for me. Can never find them. Thousands of people go past there every day and have no clue.
So you think that you'll be doing this for a while?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because my motto is... Every once I will have a great day of caching, but there'll be so many more that we haven't got. Especially living in St. Louis, there's just hundreds of them around. Yeah. So my motto kind of is so many caches, so little time. And I joke around if we could just quit our jobs and go out geocaching almost every day,
be out of a job like me, then you get all the time in the world.
I run the Pocket Query. For my home, I do 20 miles, and it's over 520 miles. Got it down just below 500 now. It's 97. And you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
You've solved a puzzle. Or
it was that goal. It's always that goal. I've achieved a goal. I found the cache. It's always a positive experience inside that you can just keep grow your confidence.
Right.
So if someone's not confident, at least you got to pick the right... You don't do an RGS cache right away.
Right.
You don't do the Safecracker cache.
Michelle had fun with that one.
Did you guys get it open?
Yes. Finally? We went one time. The first time we looked for it, that's when my Garmin was... So that was a very bad day of caching because it kept breaking up. And then we couldn't even find it to start with. Then we went back again right before MOGA. We kind of hiked around a lot just to kind of get used to the terrain, kind of get in shape a little bit. We found it, and I played with it for a while, then Michelle played with it for a while and used some language Michelle normally doesn't use.
I'm sure there's lots of shaking.
A little shaking, a little cursing. And
he still brings that up.
It was funny.
Now I've seen you at your worst.
Pretty much, yeah.
What was really funny is MOGA was the next weekend, and we go into the hotel Saturday night, and RGS and his wife are getting out of the car and talk to him for a couple minutes, and Michelle's like, who's that? That was RGS, the guy you said such horrible things about.
Oh. Did you guys stay at Monroe City Inn?
Yes.
Okay.
The one with the fire alarm.
The main one?
The main one where most people were at.
Yeah, with the fire alarm at 4 in the
morning. Yeah! That's right, you were there.
We were there.
I was reviewing all the video all up to like 2 in the morning. I got like 2 hours of sleep, and all of a sudden that fire alarm comes out.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. So I look out. No, nobody's running, so it must be a false alarm.
That's kind of what I did,
I didn't want to go. Even if it was burning down, that I needed my sleep.
This guy stuck my head out the door. Saw a few other heads. Didn't look like anything's going on.
That's sleep. One of the things that's fun about it, is talking about RGS caches and some of the other ones that we've gone maybe out a couple times to try to find. And then when you finally find it, it's just such a great feeling of achievement. Yeah. Like, oh, we finally found it.
Usually you're in for something different or something challenging.
We don't like to do the phone a friend usually. We usually like to, we're stubborn, we'll like keep going back if we have to.
I think the only one that I've gone back the most was Tale of Two Cities that Rich did out there by Route 66 Park. Third time we finally found out. You guys have done that one?
Two times.
Okay.
I have a scar on my knee for that one. Because the first time, it's not a big scar, but the first time we were out there, I thought, oh, I'll just hop over the guardrail and look at the other side of the guardrail to kind of get a different viewpoint. And that's when I scraped my knee.
Yeah, they kept saying, you could find it in a wheelchair. And then I kept thinking, well, does that mean the wheelchair from the road? Or first thing I remember, I was looking for it in a tree. There's a tree nearby. There's got to be a tree. No. Came back again. It had kind of a clue because Strider said something about, I think every bolt had an F or something on it. So I tried all the bolts. I know I tried the bolt that was in and still wasn't right. But then the third time, I had a much better idea. Sure enough, there it was. The writing on it was getting kind of rubbed off a little bit. Luckily, it was enough that I could see it.
I know I touched every one of them, but I think I must have touched to the right, and then I just hit it to the left, and I'm screwed.
I think the coordinates always took me in the middle of the road. And I swear, I looked at the middle of the road. Like, okay, this is RGS here. What has he done to the road?
There's no telling. The first 100 was the hardest. After that, it was...
Yeah, his goal is to make it to 500 before the end of the year, which I think he's going to do. Because we're going to go up to Mark Twain Lake in a couple weeks
and get the rest of the logo ones.
Yeah. Right, we didn't do that many. We did like 15 or 16.
Look at the geocacher I've become. I mean, I used to be able to... Where's the geocache? Let's go. But now it's like... maybe not. I'd like to reach 1,500 by the end of this year. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sure, hopefully you get like 30 seconds of something usable out of that.
Yeah. It wasn't too painful.
This concludes the Slogga Podcast. For more information about the Slogga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.